Hey, this is Carrie Peters.
And Stacey Morgenstern.
And welcome to Better Than Ever, a Health Coach Institute podcast.
Where we're here to question how we do life because the normal rules no longer apply.
Hello, Better Than Ever podcasters. Happy New Year. I hope that you all had wonderful holidays and a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful start to this new year. I can't say wonderful enough. Maybe I'm feeling wonderful. I don't know. Welcome back to the Better Than Ever podcast. I am Hannah Duncan, and I am so excited to be here with you. Speaking of excited, I cannot wait to announce that HCI Live is coming up April 25th through 27th in Phoenix, Arizona. We will be hanging with our tribe. Those tickets are about to be available, so start making those travel plans because I cannot wait to see you there. HCI Live is one of the best experiences. And plus I get to meet you, so that's like really cool. Better Than Ever podcasters, what if I told you that you can actually experience the magic of our amazing tribe, even if you're not a student, grad, or coach? What? You can connect, share, and get exclusive HCI content, including free downloads, join fun group challenges, and interact with Stacey, Carrie, and the HCI Dream Team. It's easy. Just join our awesome Better Than Ever Health, Life, and Career Facebook page. It is the perfect space to hang out and interact with other like-minded heart warriors who are ready to change the world. So head on over to Facebook, search Better Than Ever Health, Life, and Career, and join in. This week, our episode, oh my gosh, I cannot tell you how excited I am to share this one. I feel like I say that every week, but this one really, really, I'm just blown away by this woman. She is incredible and strong and powerful and loving. She's been a mentor and a friend of mine for years, and so I am so excited to share the story that she actually shared at HCI Live. It is Carrie Peters. As many of you know, she had this adorable, squishy, munchy cutie named Evie a few years ago. And shortly after Evie's birth, Carrie started to experience postpartum depression. And she has been battling this for quite some time, and this is the first time that she's really spoken out about the treatment that she's been going through in order to fight this. And I think this story is important. I have been watching her lead this company with grace and beauty and strength all while struggling through this, and I cannot tell you how proud I am of this woman. She is somebody to look up to. Her story is just incredible, and I'm proud to share this. You don't need to listen to me talk anymore. Let's get to it. Carrie Peters, take it away. You be a beautiful, wonderful woman. Get it, girl.
How can you call yourself a health coach when you're overweight?
Okay.
And how do you deal with the pressure and expectation of being on your A game for others all the time? I feel so much pressure to be on for others.
Does anybody feel that way?
Yep. My question.
Nice.
Fitness trainer. Yeah. Noted. 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 Putting that in my bank. Okay, so the question is overweight. So I want to handle both of those in one go. I've actually been thinking about those questions a lot. Because certainly most of you know I have come out of a difficult time in my life. And I talked about sharing. Many people have asked me about losing baby weight. Is that something you're curious about? There's still a little more to go, but I've lost a lot. And thank you. Thank you very much. And I think that weight was sort of the most obvious symptom of what was going on. And I did share that I had postpartum depression. I'm guessing that some of you in this room have had that experience. It's probably unlikely that in a group of the size, no woman has had that experience, has not had that experience. But what I didn't share was how severe it was or how long it lasted or how I recovered from it. Because, yes, the weight was on the outside, but nobody saw what was happening on the inside, behind the scenes. And for those of you who have had postpartum depression or postpartum anxiety, which I didn't know was a thing, but is a thing, same with postpartum OCD, maybe you knew that was a thing. But the way that showed up for me, it started almost immediately after I had my daughter, and it lasted for a very long time. And it was almost as if postpartum depression was like a syndrome, and my whole body shut down, basically. And the way that I experienced that on most days was that I'm sure, again, if you've had this experience, was just engulfed with horrible feelings of being a horrible mother, and that I should leave my husband and my daughter because they'd be better off without me, that I was so awful and such a stain to them that it would be a gift to them if I went away. I had constant horrifying visions of my daughter being harmed. Driving in the car was a nightmare. I mean, I just was white-knuckling the seats, shaking all over, just imagining that any second a car was gonna hit us. There were many times that I was driving, and I had to physically stop myself from driving into oncoming traffic or driving off a bridge. Or in Chicago, there's an elevated train, but there are places where the train is ground level. And I had to hold myself back from driving into the train, and I remember my husband being very scared and wanting to know like where I was all the time. I couldn't really leave the house for many months, and it was difficult for me to understand. It was difficult for my husband to understand. I was constantly sobbing. I had a feeling of like complete deadness inside me that I've never experienced in my life. I've had experiences with depression and anxiety. So when I heard about postpartum, I thought, well, sure, okay, depression. But I've just never, ever had such an epic feeling of total and complete darkness and deadness. Like before I had my daughter, I had confidence, I stood up straight, but afterwards, it was like I was hunched over. I couldn't even stand up straight to do so. I could hardly meet people in the eyes. I developed a horrible social anxiety. Just walking down the block to say hi to my neighbor, I would completely blank because I knew the person's name, but I couldn't find it, and I would just shrink. I had extreme exhaustion like I've never experienced. I could barely walk up the stairs or bend down to tie my shoes. I could hardly hold my daughter. My senses were like it's like the sound of my baby crying was like ripping through me like bullets. I basically hid myself away as much as possible from anyone and anything, like kind of like a wounded animal behind a tree, going, I know I'm wounded. I don't know what to do about it. I can't help it. I can't change it. So I just need to sit here and bleed and try to get better. I could not be physically intimate in any way with anyone. Just holding hands or holding my daughter was completely overwhelming. And if you are familiar with holiday ornaments, the kinds that are like metal, do you know, like that super thin metal? And if you drop it to the floor, it just into like 100 pieces, that's what it felt like inside. That everything I knew to be true about myself, or who I believed myself to be, or what my life was shattered completely. And on top of that, the physical change to not recognize myself at all just compounded it. And it was devastating really pretty much on every level, physically, emotionally, mentally. My relationship was devastated by this experience. If you can imagine your spouse you know, wanting to die every day for years. That's a very difficult thing. Maybe some of you have had that experience, and so you know. And I remember with this holiday ornament, I kept like just trying to reach down and pick up the pieces and put them together with glue, and every time the pieces would slip out of my hand, it was just like completely out of control. And this went on for 20 months. And at times, things got a little better. And at times, things got worse. And I tried a lot of things, actually, to help it. I tried 5 or 6 different medications. I was in therapy. I tried acupuncture regularly. I tried to fix it with, you know, healthy eating. I mean, there was a 12-month period of time where not one processed food crossed my lips. But I didn't lose a pound. I got bigger. It was like I was swelling almost. And it wasn't, I mean, the weight certainly, it bothered me because it wasn't like, it wasn't me, but it was the swelling and the pain of it. When I looked at myself, I could see that. Certainly, I tried meditation. I tried what little exercise I could do. I was coaching, of course. I did everything that I knew to do. And being a coach for so many years, I thought, I can fix it. I can fix it, and I should be able to fix it. But nothing worked, and it kept getting worse, and I was in denial about how bad it was getting. And most days, by 8 o'clock in the morning, I was crushed by fatigue. I was already almost on the floor, sobbing, not knowing how I was going to make it through the rest of the day. And it was an utterly hopeless and bleak feeling. And there were definitely times where I just thought, this isn't even safe. Like, I shouldn't. I worried. Even though I denied how bad it was, a part of me knew it was not good. And so for 20 months, she was born in October of 2015. Every single day I wanted to die. And I finally, after I had tried all these medications, tried all these things, I found a neuropsychiatrist. And I had found him from the work of Dr. Daniel Amen. I don't know if anyone's familiar with Dr. Daniel Amen. Really amazing work that he does with SPECT scanning and EEGs to measure blood flow in the brain to see which areas of the brain are active or not active. And he did those scans on me. And when we sat down to go over the results, and I've given my history and all of that, he recommended what I felt was a very scary, aggressive form of treatment. And I was not interested in his recommendation because it scared the hell out of me. I'll explain what it is in a moment. But he told me that the severity of my postpartum was equivalent to stage 4 metastatic cancer. And that if I didn't have this aggressive treatment, because my depression was treatment resistant, it was not working, it was not getting better, treatments were not working, that my remaining options were likely electroconvulsive therapy and hospitalization. Which at that point, you would think I'd say, okay, do whatever you gotta do. But I did not. I spent another 6 months just in denial, saying this is just not that bad. I just refused to admit it. Until a couple things happened that opened my eyes. I have 2 best friends that I've had since I was in 3rd grade. They're like sisters to me, and we have a girls' weekend, and we were in my hometown trying to walk around the town just to shop, and I couldn't keep up with them when we were walking. I mean, they were walking at a normal pace, and I could not walk. And I went down to bend my shoe and could barely do it, and was... My best friend looked at me and said, this is not you. This is not okay. You are a strong person. What is going on? My sister had countless conversations with me, telling me, like, this is not okay. Something's wrong. You need to get more help than you're currently getting. And then in the May 2017, we were in Miami having this live event. Mind you, while this is going on, 3 live events, 3 retreats, I don't know how many webinars, Facebook Lives, creating courses, like full on, HCI going like a bullet train, right? And here I am having to show up and perform every day while this is happening, right? Thank you. Thank you. And I started to feel around May 2017 after the Miami event, like I could feel like this is, I'm not able to pull it. I felt like I'm acting. I've been an actress for years. Like I can pull this off. And then it started to feel like I can't pull this off anymore. Like this energy is not good. I can't stand in this and be who I need to be. And after that event, I had a disastrous vacation with my family, and then my husband sat me down and said, you have to do what this doctor has recommended. And if you don't, you have to go into a hospital. And that was like the final intervention. And I just surrendered. And I went into the neuropsychiatrist's office and I said, well, my way isn't working. Let's try it your way. So 4 days later, I was in an infusion room in my doctor's office getting ready to have a ketamine infusion. Is anyone familiar with ketamine for the use of treatment-resistant and suicidal risk depression? And it was combined with something called transmagnetic stimulation, which is like a very friendly form of electroconvulsive therapy, way less intense. It was basically a magnetic stimulation of the brain. And those two happened at once. And ketamine is an anesthetic used for, like I say, treatment-resistant depression. When you have this treatment, you're in a Barca lounger, you have an IV, like the thing's on your head, and you're out. This sedates you. You're like done for the day. My husband had to drive me to the office. He had to drive me to the office. He had to wait until it was done. He had to drive home with me. This is me in the chair and my doctor behind me. His name is Dr. Best, if you can believe that. And the blue thing on my head is the transmagnetic stimulation. My IV is there. There were three other chairs in the room with me, and the people that were in the chairs were so nice, and they were so sick. And then they told me their stories. I just sat there in shock, thinking that the day that I landed in this room was the darkest day of my life. And I truly didn't know if this treatment was going to work. Like, if it didn't work, I wasn't sure what I was going to do. It turned out, though, that you know with this treatment, it starts to work within 72 hours. Yeah, 72 hours, you can feel a change. And I did feel a change. I felt for like a whiff of inner stability for the first time. And I felt like a whiff of hope, like maybe this could work. And it turned out that it was what saved my life. Thank you. There's another picture of that. It's just really closer up and more disturbing to me to see. So that was June of 2017, and I would go to a treatment every Tuesday. My husband would drive me. Would drive me home, I'd come out of sedation and have to sleep the rest of the day. Sometimes I'd be nauseous and throwing up in parking lots. And then the next day, I would be on a webinar or creating content or showing up on Facebook or being in meetings. Or I would have to schedule treatments in such a way that I could be in a retreat, delivering the work. And honestly, work was a savior to me. It was the one thing I knew. It was the one thing that made sense to me. It was the one thing I could hang on to that I was good at. Because as a parent, I felt like a complete failure and a complete fish out of water. So over the next 15 months, this is how I recovered. I had, from June of 2017 to this past January, I think it was 47 ketamine and TMS treatments. And And then on top of that, there was I had an amazing doctor who also tested for nutrient deficiencies. And so after the ketamine infusion was done, I laid in a recovery room, and they started an IV drip of nutrients. And that's been over 57 IVs of nutrients. I'm still in cycles of nutrient IVs to kind of just complete the healing. I also had to take customized vitamins at home, customized sort of mixes. At any given time, I was on 3 to 5 prescription medications or 6 to 10 like supplement regimens, and I was treating postpartum anxiety, OCD, and PTSD, severely unbalanced hormones, hypothyroidism, adrenal exhaustion, SIBO, impaired liver detoxification. My body had just kind of fallen apart. I had biweekly check-in appointments with my neuropsychiatrist, once a week therapy, biweekly TCM coaching, couples therapy and coaching. My pelvis didn't kind of come back together after the pregnancy, so I had trouble walking and getting myself back together, so a weekly sports massage and chiropractic adjustments. I was working with a personal trainer twice a week to rebuild strength and stamina, and that was a slow process, I can tell you. One or two times a week, two was lucky, Pilates, to rebuild my pelvic floor, which, ladies, you know, that shit goes crazy after having a baby. And then when I was finally strong enough, I would add interval sprints, very short ones, 30 seconds at most. If I could get to a yin yoga class, I would. I would meditate and do automatic writing to try to manage the stress of taking care of this child and this business running and me being so out and my trying to remember my husband's name. Poor guy. And then I ate just incredibly restrictive. I'm not normally a super restrictive person with food. I feel fairly flexible with it, but I couldn't be. I didn't feel I could afford it. So it was no gluten, dairy, soy, eggs, grains, beans, caffeine, chocolate, peanuts, alcohol, nothing. For about 11 months in the recent past, I did intermittent fasting to help like get the weight off, a 6-hour eating window. And then there were times when I would feel hopeful, and then times where I would feel hopeless, and I just would lose my, I can't do this anymore, like this is taking forever, and then I would go to hypnosis. And I work with a hypnotherapist to just like help me switch back into my motivation and like my hope and to know that I will be better than ever. And I needed hypnosis at times for that. I would have readings with my favorite intuitives, my favorite astrologist, just to help me stay grounded, like good things are coming. And getting better was like a second job. And again, like I think since my daughter was born, we've had 7 HCI lives. We've had 7 retreats. I don't even know how many webinars, all of what you see, this is what's been happening. So can you imagine being the face of the fastest growing health coaching company with this happening? And it's just one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. And it made me question everything I thought I ever knew about things happening for a reason and all of that. So how did I get through? And when I reflect back, I mean, now the fact that I'm even telling you to me that I'm sharing this, I mean, it took me until maybe a month and a half after the treatment started before I even told Stacy what was happening. I couldn't talk about it because I didn't know if I'd ever come out of it. But once I could see I'd starting to come out of it, then I could tell her. And now that I see like, wow, I'm really out of it. I am so far out of the woods that I can tell you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. So I'll just complete this by saying quickly that when I think about what got me through and I reflected back, it was beliefs. And it was the beliefs that were set into me through transformational coaching. And there were six in particular. And the first one is that success equals showing up. You have to show up. Even if nothing is improved, that it's about doubling down on self-care, that I go to the training session, I go with a personal trainer, even if I cannot do one single squat, I show up. You go to the, whatever it is you're going to for your business, you show up. Because eventually showing up is going to lead to something good, but if you don't show up, what happens? Nothing. The second thing is to aim for 1% improvement, and I had to change that to 0.01%. And know that some days there'd be no improvement. And when that happened, I went back to belief number one, which was show up. And then the third belief was to widen your timeline but narrow your focus. So that you have to give yourself more time, not less, for the goals that you want to achieve. That they might take longer than you want. And what I learned was that I was in control of my habits, but I was not in control of my healing. We are in control of our habits when we're building our business. We're not always in control of external circumstances. And that's okay because we keep showing up, aiming for 1% improvement. Focusing in. And the focus isn't day by day. That didn't work. For me, it was minute by minute. If I didn't focus on what was right in front of me, I would completely fall apart. So you have to chunk down to simple steps and simplify expectations. And what I had to do was have every therapist, every doctor, every coach, everybody on my healing team remind me of that every day. I had to have the accountability of, you know what? It's not going to go 100 miles an hour like you're used to going. You're going to go 1 mile an hour, and that's great. I needed that accountability. The next belief was that there is something greater than me. Oftentimes, before an event or a retreat, all I could do was pray. Please help me. Please let me be of service. Please let me show up in the way that I need to show up for the people who need this, whatever this is. And to know that that which is greater than me is driving. It's almost like I stepped aside and let that take over. There's a part of you, regardless of what you're struggling with, that is never harmed. And that's what we hook into. The fifth belief was that it takes a village, that I have to have support. We all have to have support. Earlier today, we talked about this being home. We have to have a home for our hearts. You need more support than you think. You want to get as much as you can, more than you need. It has to be an obscene level of support to do the courageous things that you want to do. And then the final belief was that the mission is bigger than this moment. What's happening right now in the future is going to be a very relatively small period of time in my life. And that what I'm doing here, stopping is not an option. One way or another, this is my life's work and it's going to happen. I will not be derailed. Sometimes that took iron will, which I have. Sometimes that took grace. But you have to remember that nothing happens to you, everything does happen for you. And I had to think, like, I don't know what this is for. I don't know why this is happening to me, but I have to believe that whatever it is going to serve the greater mission because I know that's what my life is for. Thank you. So when you're thinking about making a commitment to whatever it is that you're making, there has to be that level of commitment and that level of determination, and the external circumstances are not irrelevant because you have to attend to them, but they are smaller than the bigger mission. Cedric, if I may reference your teaching, big dreams, small actions, not going to work out. So I just want to thank you a lot, and Stacy, and all the team, and everybody who supported me during this. I deeply appreciate it. My team didn't even know this was happening. So, thank you. Thanks. Yeah, well, thank you for listening. I mean, thank you for being my home, my solace. You know? You were that for me, for us. That's why we love going on this ride together. It's like why I want you to keep going. Like, let's go. We get to be a home for each other.
Hello, Better Than Ever podcasters. I hope that you enjoyed this special sneak peek into our live events. Carrie Peters, you are incredible. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Guys, if you want to witness more moments like this in person, you actually can. Come to HCI Live April 25th through 27th in Phoenix, Arizona. You can check out all the information you need for the event at hcilive.com. Also, don't forget to join our fabulous Better Than Ever Facebook page today and start sharing, posting, and connecting with our amazing tribe. We hope to see you there. Thank you so much for listening. If you did enjoy this podcast, please go ahead and subscribe. Give us a nice review on iTunes or whatever platform you are listening to us. I actually go through and read all of those, and it makes me feel really good when I see somebody enjoying and being inspired by the stories that we're sharing. We are now on year 3 for the Better Than Ever podcast. I can hardly believe it. Thank you guys so much for supporting this dream of mine, and I hope to see you soon. Thanks for tuning in to Better Than Ever, a Health Coach Institute podcast. For more information on our programs, please go to www.healthcoachinstitute.com. Comment and share if you like what you hear.